27 minutes past nine. John Leake has had such a colourful life and training career. There was a time when he only had a few jumpers in work. There was another time when he had about 60 in work, including fast two-year-olds. And then he went off and did his own thing. And now he's back training for Bob Peters. What an interesting life he's had. And Leakey joins us. How are you, John?
Yeah, you're pretty right there, Matt. I'm fantastic. And yeah, it has been a interesting and a great life. I've been blessed. I've got four kids. I've got two still living at home. That's 22 and 26, and a wife that still looks after me and cares for me. So things couldn't be any better until Bob Peters rings me and says, "Listen, would you mind taking a couple of horses?" And yeah, just look, I'm going to go out, you know, on a high at the end of the day. I've been blessed to be able to get these horses. You wouldn't believe it. And, you know, you've got to be just have a bit of luck in life. And I'm going to get a bit of luck towards the end of my career. And hopefully a lot of success will come with it.
I know what Bob Peters would have said to the 22-year-old and the 26-year-old who's still living at home. He would have said, "Get on your way."
Yeah, well, look, he's been fantastic to me. Honestly, he's given me, put a spring in my step. I've actually got runners on this morning, and I'm just coming back from the trials. I've been running around at the trials, and I'm 70 next year. And
are you really?
I feel like I'm 40, to be quite honest. So I've always kept myself busy, but the horses I've got off him, mate, you wouldn't believe. They're just beautiful. That's all I can say. I'm just... blessed.
I wouldn't want to run into you. Still wouldn't want to run into you in a dark alley, even at the age of 70, to be honest. Remind us, I know you've spoken about it before, but remind us of the day the phone rang and Bob Peters was on the other end of it.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a hoax, to be quite honest. And who wouldn't, you know, it'd be a bit like the Queen ringing and saying, "Oh, John, how are you going there?" So, as you can imagine, I've got a few mates that are practical jokers, and but look, it soon turned out that, yeah, Bob, and he's been great. He's such a sincere sort of person, and he's easy to deal with. He's just, what can I say, he's got a lot of horses, and he really wants things done his way, which is basically my way, so we're on the same page. He likes being involved, and he's a genius, obviously. So if I can produce the goods, he's going to be a very happy man.
A trickle turned into something a little bit more fair income, didn't it, with the horses he sent you?
Yeah, well, I think he sent me a few to try me and see what I thought of them, and, you know, which obviously anybody would. And it's probably the way it panned out because, you know, those horses that I have got now weren't ready to come now. And, obviously he said to me one day, he said, "Can Mitchell go and pick some horses up at the airport at 1 o'clock tomorrow morning?" And I was frightened to ask what they were because I didn't want to ask any questions. And, I said, "No worries, you'll be there at one because, you know, as you know, Mitch, he's hands-on and he's a goer." So I get an email shortly after that to tell me what the horses are, what time they're arriving and et cetera. And, yeah, they were Regal Power and Western Empire. So that would...
A couple of old hacks and then Superstorm and Graceful Girl and Showmanship. Yeah, what a pack of potential Jericho Cup horses they are.
Well, you forgot Inspirational Girl as well.
So when did you get most of them?
Well, they come in a trickle, really. You know, they've gone to an adjustment property in Narnagoon, for starters. They're having a good spell, and they'll come in to work as they're ready. But they're at a beautiful place here at the back of my property, and they're all thriving. And as you'll notice on my stable return, Midnight Blue coming to work yesterday, and Regal Power and Western Empire are in work now, and Graceful Girl and a few others.
What are they? Do they just look and feel different? I mean, I know you've had good horses before, but this is a swarm of super horses, really, in the context of you know, what they've done and what you might be able to do with them. Is there a sort of a glow about this group of horses from Bob Peters?
Yeah, look, as you know, I've done a lot in my life, so I'm very excited by it, but at the same time, I've done a lot. I get up in the morning and go out there and, you know, don't do anything different. We just do it perfectly.
Is the temptation, is it important to treat them like any other horse?
Oh, look, you obviously, you know, they're probably getting a, you know, they might be getting a fraction of a little bit more of a help. Like, our horses work in the morning and go into a paddock for 2 or 3 hours of a morning. And, you know, and between Andrew and myself, we've got about 15-odd horses in work. And if I see Rugal Powell looking out at his paddock, I might just go and get him and put him in the paddock for another hour. So that's the only extra things they're getting, you know. They're just getting exactly the same feed, exactly the same boxes. They're just, everything's the same except when we're putting them on and off floats and, you know, transporting to the track, you know, we're obviously, I like driving them and, you know, it's, you know, look, you can't do any more than what you can do because, you know, one day your worst horse could be your best horse. So, you know, I've always found that I treat them all the same because of exactly that. You know, I've had horses and people have said they're not much good, you know, and they've come out and they've been superstars. So I just treat them all the same, Matty.
I remember River Amos. He was a little superstar. Hey, Frigid and Bright Diamond might be the first Peter's horses for you at Pakenham on Saturday. I think they both need a little bit of jar out of the track before they're committed to run. Is that right?
Yeah, well, look, Bob's absolutely on top of all that sort of stuff. He sent horses here and he wants them to run on the right tracks. And I'm all for it. Obviously, only acquiring Fingerada a few months ago. And he just loves a wet track. And I took him to Caulfield one day. I thought the skies were going to open. The track was a 5 and the skies did open an hour after the race course. So, you know, these horses are coming here for wet tracks and, you know, that's what they're going to get. And I'll just do whatever Bob says because he's paying the bills and he's realistic like me. I know these horses want wet tracks because we can, you know, with Andrea riding them and all that type of thing, we can feel. If they feel the ground, we know they feel the ground. So, we 100%, they're going to get the sting out of the ground. Well, they want a slow track more than the sting.
Will they get that, do you think, on Saturday?
Yeah, we've just trialled Frigid and Bright Diamond this morning, and they've trialled on a 6, and they've gone fantastic. So, that was over 800 metres. I couldn't be any more happy with them. They've trialled extra well. So, like, I'm just, they've pulled up a treat. I'm just on the way back home now to unload them and put them in the paddocks for a couple of hours and then they'll go into their boxes and have a rest for the rest of the day. They've just turned into really nice horses.
So, if they run, means they get the conditions to suit. Are you confident? You'd love to get an early one for Bob.
Yeah, wouldn't I? Wouldn't I? I'm excited enough as it is if I could win a race for him. So these horses are, Frigid was a nice horse over there, a really nice horse, and Bright Diamond is too. But, you know, we're coming to the big smoke. This is a Saturday meeting, basically city class. One's a $130,000 race, the other race is an $80,000 race. So they're not going there for an easy kill. It's not going to be like that. They're going to be very, very competitive races on Saturday.
All right, and when do the superstars kick off? I imagine you're thinking autumn and all-star miles, you know, things go well, Australian Cups and so on. Is that when we start to see the really good ones march out?
Yeah, well, look, I obviously leave that to Bob because he picks the races with these horses. He knows all these horses inside out, the races they should be in. But, yeah, you're pretty on the money there, Matty. That's, I'd say, where logically they've got to go.
Has Mitch had a stoush in recent weeks?
Oh, I tell you what he has had. He's had 3 spars with Michael Zarafa.
Oh, yeah.
And as you know, Michael Zarafa fought last Wednesday. And, yeah, he's flying. Like, the 3 spars that he had with Michael Zarafa were over 3 rounds, you know, 3 three-minute rounds. It was basically like a fight, but they're only spars. But he's going to fight the top fighters next year. He'll fight the top Victorian middleweight fighters next year. So he's really having trouble now getting a fight because, you know, they're balking a bit, you know. But come next year, they won't be able to balk because...
Are they running away from him?
You could say that, yep. Bit like Bo Rogue and Winks. You don't want to race against him.
All right. So how does it play out if he, you know, is there a point where they just can't run away any longer and they have to take him on?
Yep.
Is that how it works out?
100%. Yep. So he'll fight for the Victorian title next year.
Yep.
And they can't run from that. And I'm not saying they're running. It's just people like to take an easier option because you get hit in the head if you're getting in with somebody that's got some ability. And he hits pretty hard. So not only is he good, he's very, you know, he's a powerful fighter. So, you know, I think he stopped his last opponent maybe halfway through the first round. And since, obviously, sparring's a Zarafa, there's nobody really in... probably nobody in Australia to even get in the ring with Michael Zarafa, to be quite honest, and sparring. So, you know, he said he learnt more out of his three spars with Michael Zarafa than he'd learnt in a year and a half of training and fighting and everything else. He said it was just amazing. And, look, to be quite honest, Michael Zarafa's, you know, he's a bit like Muntean. You love to hate him, but he's a pretty good bloke. And, you know, he wants to help Mitch, and he's basically said, I'll be retired before he wants to fight me. He's a really good bloke.
There you go. Good on you, mate. Good luck to Mitch for finding a rival. And good luck on Saturday if you take these Peters horses to Packet. And if we see him in, we'll be having something on. Good luck.
Yeah, mate. Look, I'm so excited. And as I say, you know, I'm blessed that I've been able to get these horses off Bob and his team. Like, he's... obviously, there's a few people behind the scenes there. So, you know, he's got a lot of horses in work over there. I've been following the Western Australian racing now, and he's got quite a few going round and quite a few really good ones going round. And, you know, it's quite exciting to watch Western Australian racing. I don't know whether you watched the Railway Stakes last week, did you?
The Winterbottom, yeah, it was amazing with Palili getting over the top. Yeah, amazing race, yeah.
The Railway, you're saying?
The Winterbottom last week and the Railway before that. Yeah, saw them both. Hey, got to go, mate. Got to go.
Yeah, mate. Bye.
Good on you, Leakey. 21-10.